Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 301, recorded on July 2nd, 2016. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I am Michael Johnston, and with me, as usual, is Adam Christensen from the MacCast and Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Doing all right.
Good.
Sweet. And I'm always impressed that I am able to say MacCast and Mac Observer back to back.
Why? Is that like some weird tongue twister?
I don't know. My brain just, I can feel my brain wanting to say something, some kind of gibberish jumble of those two things.
Well, you could make up a new thing if you want.
Well, I did make up Mac Observer.
MacCast Observer?
Sure. We'll go with that. We're still discovering new features in iOS 10.
We are?
Yeah, we, as the community of people who care about this stuff.
You mean the proverbial we?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, the royal we.
You found some cool stuff.
No. It was a single stuff, which is that you can prioritize your app downloads. If you have multiple app downloads going at one time, you can do a 3D touch on it and actually jump it up to the top of the queue.
You can iOS 10 is just like 3D touchified.
Oh,
everywhere.
Yeah.
Need to start 3D touching on like everything that you can 3D touch on.
Everything can be 3D touched,
including maybe yourself.
Yeah.
See how that goes for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm doing it right now.
Nice. Are you finding extra features?
I am.
Yeah, it's magical.
The only problem is people are going to start trying to like do that on things that aren't iOS devices, really. I mean, and I don't mean that in the
right
coy way we were just talking about. I mean, like, it's the same way when you have a touch device and then you accidentally catch yourself like trying to like use your Mac Pro screen or your MacBook Pro screen is like a touch screen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm going to start like, and I already do it. Like if I've picked up, I've done it. I've tried to do it on my iPad. I'll admit it right now on my iPad Pro. And it obviously doesn't work.
Yeah. But. Well, I was looking at something on my friend's iPhone a week or two ago, and I went to 3D touch on it. I think I was looking at Instagram. So I went to 3D touch on it and it worked.
Pop up
and
the photo.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh, I didn't know you got the new iPhone. And he's like, I don't. and I'm like, oh, I'm just
long pressing.
Yeah. I was long pressing, but very, very meanly on his screen.
Very forcefully.
Yes. Yeah. So that was fun. So speaking of new iPhones, advanced semiconductor engineering. One of Apple's chip assemblers is saying that the orders from, how did they say, the big client in the U.S.
Big client.
Yeah, they say that it's going to be a little more conservative when placing orders this year in contrast with previous years.
Yep.
Which is kind of supporting the rumor going around that the iPhone 7 is going to be a planned flop.
I don't have a problem with people saying that the iPhone 7 sales are going to be, I don't even know how you put it.
Weaker
than... lower than expected is not the correct term. Maybe lower than previous releases is fine. Like, that's a legitimate thing. I think Apple's fully aware that that's going to happen. I think it's going to do slightly better than the 6S did, but it's not going to be like iPhone 6 levels ever again.
Well, so
people just need to like resolve themselves to that. So it's weird how people report this like a planned flop. It's not a planned flop. It is a planned release. Apple is being realistic about what they think the numbers are going to be. and therefore they're conservatively ordering parts. And I'm sure they've got it set up so that if demand ends up being higher than they're expecting, they already have plans in place to adapt to that.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, they say plan or lower sales than expected, but
Wall Street, right?
Well, that's in terms of the expectations of Wall Street, not what Apple always. You know, they have a pretty good beat on things, and it's just people who are insane.
Yeah, what we need to watch is what the guidance is in the call leading. Is there a call before the iPhone? Another call before the iPhone launch?
Yeah, I think it's late
yes,
July.
It's coming up on the 26th, I believe.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, so we'll hear on the 26th. We'll get a pretty good feel for what Apple is thinking internally on what iPhone 7 sales are going to look like, right? If you listen to that call and look at what their guidance is, then you know. But I mean, it's going to be conservative. Apple's smart about this. I mean, they know the iPhone 7 isn't going to be a huge launch. They're not doing major design changes. They're not adding like really major new features. The camera system's going to be appealing to some people. Mm-hmm. But also the flip side of that is if the other rumor of the headphone jack going away is in there, that's going to deter some people. Like, there might be some people that were like, that's too much. That's too big of a hassle. I don't want to deal with that. I'm not going to upgrade. I think you've even mentioned, Michael, you might be in that camp.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, depending upon what the other features are. So if you look at it and you go, you know what, my iPhone 6 or 6S is just dang fine, and I don't really care about the new camera, and I'd really like to still have a headphone jack because I find that convenient, you know, you're not going to upgrade. So, and I think Apple's aware of that. They know there's going to be a whole bunch of people that just don't need to upgrade. They know they're moving on to longer iPhone time between upgrade cycles for most consumers, and they're managing it. I mean, that's all that this is. This is Apple managing what they know sales are going to be.
Yeah. But, you know, at the same time, it's interesting. There are a lot of these rumors going around. A lot of weird rumors that conflict with each other. And I wonder how much has been inserted by Apple into the rumor mill.
What's conflicting?
Well, you got the, I would say the headphone jack is the primary one. That's just there's a lot of conflict about that as to what they're going to do, whether it's going to be there. And my thought about...
There's no conflict. Apple hasn't said what's going on. Therefore, it's just a bunch of people freaking out because they don't know what Apple's going to do.
Well, I'm not saying...
I know what they're going to do.
I'm not saying conflict
except
among Apple. I'm just saying that there are all the people who like to talk about just fantasy. they can't agree.
I'll tell you what's going to happen. There's going to be no headphone jack. There's going to be a pair of 3.5 millimeter ear pods in the box with an adapter.
See, okay. So this is on the 7 because you've been of the opinion that it was going to be on the 8 and they're not going to be doing that for this one. Or is that Jeff?
I don't know. I am saying now whatever I said in the past was wrong.
Okay.
So
Adam, I think we both said not this iPhone, but the next.
Yeah, probably.
At one point. And now we're both in the same camp. Yeah, it's this iPhone, the one coming this fall, that won't have a headphone jack.
Yeah, earlier, probably a couple months back or a couple weeks back, I would have said differently just based on what the rumor mill consensus was. Right now, it's really looking like it's out in the 7. I kind of stand by the earlier thing because I don't think Apple really knew even up to a couple weeks ago. I think they were playing around with different ideas. But based on the last week or so of rumors, it's really sounding like the plan is, and it makes a lot of sense. I think the plan is we're getting rid of the jack. We're going to give people an adapter to kind of ease them into this, which is very un-Apple-like. But it's sounding like it's going to happen. You know, I would have bet that Apple would have just went, here's sell an adapter. And that still could be the case. But I think they're going to throw it in there just to ease the transition for people. And to kind of take some of those people who might be on the edge of going, well, I'm not going to upgrade if it doesn't have a 3.5 millimeter jack. That kind of eases those people along. And then I think they're going to release. Some people are saying Apple's still working on some Bluetooth headphones. I think they're going to have a couple of new Bluetooth Beats headphones to kind of go along with the launch.
Of course,
so that people can have those to buy.
Okay,
you know, and store as like an add-on.
I'm going to say that it's bullshit if they do that for the iPhone 7. There's no reason for them to do it. And if you want to talk about the iMac, the original iMac, getting rid of the floppy drive or switching to USB and getting rid of serial ports, those sorts of comparisons, those comparisons are invalid unless there is something exceptionally compelling about this iPhone release. I could see it if they were doing it for the iPhone 8, where they're planning to have all of these big design changes and new implementations, new features, those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. But to me, it sounds like they're just doing the 6SS for this release and removing the headphone jack because it makes them all hot and bothered to screw with us.
No.
Yes, that's absolute. There's no compelling reason. If they don't change the form factor, it's absolute bullshit. And unless, I mean, they're going to have to make a very good case.
All right, so
when they release this, rip the Band-Aid off now and deal with it in a minor release.
Well, I'm not going to buy it if it's
already adapted to it in the next release. They're like, okay, it doesn't have a headphone jack, whatever. We knew it because the last one didn't.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
So the only reason is to make the iPhone 7 the disappointing iPhone release, and so that there's nothing to point at as a disappointment on the iPhone 8.
Sure. Sounds like a good strategy to me.
But it's not going to be disappointing.
It's exceptionally manipulative and stupid.
The people that are going to look at the iPhone 7 and say, oh man, this is so disappointing. Apple doesn't innovate. They've totally lost it. They're just punting.
I'm not saying any of those things. I'm saying
there will be people that will.
That's going to get said big time after this release. Like, it's been that way in the past. This is going to be worse. And if you have stock, just, you know, well, I guess I shouldn't be giving stock advice. My uninformed, you should not follow any advice I give you related to finances or stocks opinion is that the stock will take a big hit after the 7 is announced. Or I shouldn't say big. It's going to go down, you know, in a significant way.
You know, Apple could release the iPhone 7 with unicorns and lap dances for everyone, and the stock would still go down.
Yeah. True.
Because people just freak out, and whatever it is that the one feature that they wanted on the iPhone, if that's not there, then Apple has failed. The iPhone's a flop.
That's been my biggest thing as of late with just the tech community in general, with everything, is that, or tech press, I guess more so, and even Wall Street. It's like everybody has their baby feature that they want. And if Apple doesn't deliver it, then, oh, well, they're doomed. And each person kind of has their own thing. And no one can kind of step back away from that and look at the whole picture, it feels like, sometimes. And well, I know I'm talking in absolutes when it's not absolutely that way. But the general consensus is, like, tech press loves to be able to find some feature that Apple didn't deliver that they wanted and then just fixate on that. And be like, oh, this is it. And, you know, the headphone jack being taken away, it's gonna be that this time around. It already is. I mean, we've already seen some of the articles, like, saying this is the stupidest thing anybody's ever done. And how could they do this to us?
Samsung is already releasing phones without headphone jacks.
Yeah, so is Motorola.
Yeah.
Are they?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
What's the
The other thing I was going to comment on is it's funny to see, like, how many other phone companies are starting to, like, it used to be they would wait for Apple to make a move and then kind of copy them. Now they're, like, pre-copying them. They're, like,
they wait for the rumors and, like, then they just do it.
Yeah, we're going to do it in advance of Apple doing it. And then what's funny is no one noticed these phones didn't have headphone jacks because there's so much focus on Apple removing it right now.
Well, I'm betting people who bought them. I'm betting people who bought them or looked at them.
Well, yeah, people who bought them noticed, but I mean, it didn't get any big fanfare.
Because people don't buy those phones. So my question is, how do you plug in headphones to those phones?
Like on the Samsung, they expect you to use Bluetooth, but there's a USB, I think it's USB-C connector on it.
Well, at least it's a standard.
Yeah. So, yeah, not even like the other standard USB ports, but a USB-C connector. And they expect you to use an adapter that you go buy.
Yeah, that's also stupid.
Well, it's happening, so.
I don't understand why.
You know, I think there's a good side of this too, though, because I talked about this on the Mac show. I think, you know, Bluetooth audio and things like that have kind of floundered a little bit. And yeah, it's not perfect and it's got issues and things like that. But there's also nothing to drive companies to sort of address those issues. Because it's like, well, if you don't like it, buy a wired headphones. So, you know, to some degree, I think this will help improve the quality and options and prices of Bluetooth headphones. Because everybody's going to have to, there's going to be a larger demand for Bluetooth headphones. So you'll see more variety in price points, more variety in features. And I also think you'll see them trying to address some of the issues like dropouts and weird connectivity stuff. I mean, they're going to have to, because if people don't have wire jacks to plug into, these are their options. So,
yeah, I would like to see a pair of Bluetooth headphones that you can plug in wired optionally, so that basically you could charge them or at the very least use them when their batteries die, because the batteries are very small on these headphones. So, but let's move on. So,
I've used Bluetooth, I'll admit, I've used Bluetooth headphones plugged in.
Can you use the Jaybirds plugged in?
Yeah, I've done it before.
You can? I haven't tried
that. Yeah, but you're like tethered to the wall. It's really weird.
It looks a little dark.
So you have to just kind of like lean against the wall to listen.
Yeah.
Luckily, I have a USB like 5-port thing right next to my bedside table. But you got to remember, you know, don't roll over or go too far. Luckily, with the earbuds, it just pops the earbud out of your ear. But, you know, like if you have over the headphones, you'll get a little whiplash if you.
That's fun. Yeah. Okay. Moving on. According to analysts Cohen and Company via Business Insider, iPhone 7 may have a Force Touch home button. So this rumor is coming again. I believe we talked about it last week. So this is another source citing that rumor.
This is when I think it's coming to the 8, not the 7.
I would think so too. I think it is coming to the line. But yeah, I would guess it's an 8 feature.
I think we have one more round of a Touch ID standard home button.
I'm with you, Adam.
Yeah, and this is one of those things that I'm fully convinced that the 3D touch, you know, the trackpads that they have on the MacBooks now are like mind-blowingly good. They blow my mind every time I click on them, and I just think there's no discernible difference between a real button and this thing that I'm touching right now.
It is kind of really weird. I notice it most when my Magic trackpad, its battery goes completely dead. It doesn't actually click. Like, I know immediately when the battery's gone completely dead because I go to click on it and there's no like click feel.
You're just pushing on an immovable object.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But you know, the other thing about this touch sensitive home button thing that gets me is I'm not sure that I still don't personally see the advantage of getting rid of a physical button and going with this if it's not integrated into the display. Like if Apple's not going to get more display room or anything like that, if it's still going to take up that area on the bottom of the phone, what difference does it make if it's flush, you know, touch sensitive, force touch thing versus just an actual button?
Well, I would like it if, honestly, right, it'd be nicer if it wasn't flush in some ways. But
I like the tactile thing. I think it's good for accessibility reasons. I think it's good for You know, and there's the people who argue, well, it breaks, they break.
And they
don't break that much.
I've never had one broken on me. I know people who have had a broken home button, but
mine's on the way. Mine's currently becoming broken. Mike, and it's very jiggly.
Break on you, right?
Yeah.
Over the years?
Yes.
Just don't know your own strength.
That might be the issue.
Maybe you're like the Hulk.
I keep my phones for 2 years, typically. I'll probably be keeping my 6 for 3 years. This one is wobbly and jiggly now, and I'm sure it'll stop working at some point. So I think that removing physical mechanisms is always a good idea if you could get away with it. Although we haven't had, I'm just saying from a purely mechanical engineering sort of standpoint.
Yeah. I mean, Android phones have had virtual home buttons since the beginning.
Sure. But they're not very tactile.
They're not tactile at all.
No, they're not.
I mean, I think some of them, you get a vibration when you press them. But like I said, I would prefer it if the 3D touch home button was a bit recessed so that you could figure out where it was.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be the case.
Okay.
There might still be a Touch ID ring, because I don't know how they're going to deal with that.
Yeah.
But I would imagine it would sit flush just to kind of outline where the touch point is, I guess.
They need to do something so that you have a tactile indication of when you're holding the phone right side up.
Yeah, where do you get that opinion from? Your Apple remote?
From... every time I pick up my phone and I'm not looking at the screen, but I can tell when I have it right side up.
Yeah. Or the Siri remote.
Yeah. Or using the Siri remote where I have to physically look at it every time.
Yeah. That's the example where, there is no tactile, because it's like symmetrical, weird. I don't know. I guess the buttons are all at the bottom, right? So you do kind of have a tactile thing there, but I still can't figure that thing out.
Yeah, there's not enough there to make it obvious when it's in your hand.
Not enough of a tactile cue. Yeah.
I think the problem with the Siri remote is you expect the shiny part to be the top part, not the not shiny part. Or at least I do. Right?
Yeah, well, and then if you're using it in low light, you're like nighttime, you have the lights turned down low, you're watching a movie, and you can't even see the buttons, really.
Would it have killed them to do a backlight on that remote?
I honestly would prefer some sort of whistle to find feature.
Whistle to find?
Yeah, whistle and your thing will.
I don't lose that remote nearly as much as I used to lose the little silver one.
Eh. I still lose it. So, let's see, where are we? Oh, Cirrus Logic, at one of Apple's suppliers, has released a kit for creating lightning-based headphones. So this
there
is an MFI headset development kit, which is a reference platform that's designed to help MFI manufacturers develop their lightning headphones.
Just more evidence that the iPhone 7 is going to not have a 3.5-millimeter jack.
Oh, man. Well, it's more evidence at the very least that they're probably not going to be pushing for USB-C. It's going to be lightning.
Yeah.
And again, okay, never mind. Let's just not. Let's let's move on. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I hate it. That's all. What else do we have here? Apple has changed their trade up with installments.
This is bugging some people, isn't it?
Well, is it because they dropped down by $50?
Well, yeah, they're giving you $50 less on your trade in. And this is what I taught. I hate doing like an I told you so sort of thing, but I kind of feel like this.
You hate being right.
Because I got a lot of flack when Apple announced their program and everything went this way. I warned people. I kind of said, I get what's going on here. I get that it's basically an interest-free loan, whatever you want to say. I said, but there's a downside to this. Something is going to happen. You're going to go to do your trade-in. You're not going to get as much money back as you want or something. It's not going to work out. And, you know, I almost hate that it seems like I was somewhat right. I mean, it not a lot changes. It's just now you can't go through Apple to get your next round of financing. You got to go back to the carriers.
Well, okay. I think that it effectively smooths out this process because before you, Apple wasn't financing this.
They were, providing the trade up thing through. I mean, it was through another creditor, but
they
were
not financing
it all in the Apple Store through Apple.
You had to get a credit card. You had to get a Citizens Bank loan, and I believe that was a.
I don't think there was any credit card involved. I think it was just. You did have to get credit approval through them.
You don't. So it's much easier now.
You got to get credit approval through your carrier, right?
With T-Mobile.
Oh, well, I don't know about T-Mobile.
I don't know about the other carriers, but in a lot of ways, they've been doing it more, and I think that the process is potentially more streamlined that way.
Yeah, but you're going to get less back on your
$50 trade-in. Less.
Yeah.
So
on the high end, and, you know, it depends on what you're trading in. Yeah. So that's, you know, the most you can get is $250, I think. Where you could get $300 before.
Yeah, $250 for an iPhone 6 Plus, which is pretty terrible, honestly. You could probably get a lot more. Depending on how much space, because it's independent
of your... I'm continue to buy mine outright every time. I'm not messing with...
Yeah, but how are you...
Next or next payment.
Yeah. I get that. But what about making your money back after you're done with it? Do you sell it on eBay? Do you sell it on Craigslist?
Friends. Yeah, sell it to... Okay. That's one way. In my house, they get handed down, so it doesn't matter.
So you drop $1,000... And then someone's very lucky next year.
Yep.
That's nice.
Yeah.
They work our way down. I mean, so we're only buying one phone for four people, so you can look at it that way.
Yeah.
Right? One phone every 4 years for four people, so.
Yeah, so that's, from that perspective, it's pretty economical.
Fair enough. What else do we have here? Oh, Apple is apparently in talks to acquire Tidal, according to the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, that's interesting, huh?
It is pretty interesting, especially with the stories earlier this week about exclusive releases, artist exclusivity.
Yeah.
And, I mean,
Tidal is... I think that's only a small part of this.
Well,
no, but I mean, it does give Apple a leg up when it comes to that, because the Tidal service was really appealed to a number of artists.
Yeah,
right.
True.
So they had some pretty big exclusives. I don't know
now, how many of those
out for them
to right. stay that way. If it's Apple,
it's
and
Apple
not Tidal.
Yeah. Great question.
I think one of the big things Apple gets out of this. Really is the talent, and by that I mean there's a lot of engineers that work for Tidal that are top in their field in a high bit rate, high fidelity audio. So bring those guys on board, and then the one thing that Tidal really had that they could tout. Over all the other services, which was we're providing higher quality audio, then Apple can roll that into what they're doing and offer the best audio quality that's not snake oil.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, but I think in the end... Oh, yeah. So a Tidal spokesman told the Wall Street Journal that Tidal executives had not held talks with Apple and the terms of the deal are unknown. But I would like to see, is title doing well?
Title's doing meh. They were shopping around. They've already been shopping around prior to this for a buyer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the breakdown numbers in terms of paid subscribers. I want to say they had like 3 or 4 million.
It's a little over 3 million, and about 1.3 million of those are at the higher price point, so the $20 a month. Yeah.
So these are the people who are actually paying money at this point.
Or
they're not on free trial.
Does Tidal do free? I don't know.
I believe they do a 3 month free trial.
Oh, yeah. Just free trial.
Yeah, just a free trial. They don't have a free tier. So yeah, they have a little over 3 million paying customers.
Well, and the ones that are at the higher level are kind of even more important, because those are, you know, from Apple's perspective, that's a higher price point than even like their family memberships.
Right.
So those are like, those customers at Tidal are worth two of Apple's paid subscribers.
Right, assuming they stay.
Purely money-wise. Well, yeah, but I mean, Apple's not going to charge them more, I don't think. So I guess it doesn't matter in the transition, but it's just interesting to think that here's some people that are willing for a higher bitrate to pay twice as much as another service might cost them.
Right.
So it'd be interesting to know if Apple did do a higher bitrate, would they charge more for it or not? I would assume not. I would assume they're going to keep the price at $10.
That's my assumption too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we still don't know how Apple counts their paid subscribers when they give their paid subscriber numbers on a family. They don't break out family plans, right? So we don't know if they count a family plan as one person or five people or three people or.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
We don't.
Yeah. No, we don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So with that, unless you guys have anything else to talk about, let's wrap her up.
Okay.
With some iDevice picks. So, Jeff, you go first.
All right. And hopefully, Adam, I'm not picking what you were planning to pick. Destination Jupiter.
Nope.
Ooh.
Yeah, so
you're preaching to the choir, dude.
Yes. Okay. So the deal is on. Is it just July Apple 4th. Music?
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. So on Apple Music, there's excuse me, a video that Apple teamed up with NASA for, and a bunch of songs that you can get that were all commissioned that are using audio from the. What is it, like the radio streams from Jupiter?
I don't think they're actually using any audio from the instruments. I think these are just things that like Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross were making.
Oh, okay. I thought they were using some special.
They were inspired by, and I think some of them do have samples from NASA sounds and things like that.
Okay.
I don't know if they're mission specific or not.
For what it's worth, during the pre-orbit insertion press conference that they had, the principal investigator did play some audio where they basically interpreted the some of the stuff that they were getting from an instrument as an audio signal and showed the difference between being under the sun's influence and then being under the influence of Jupiter, which was very cool. But I don't think they used anything like that for this. But anyway, go ahead with what you were saying.
Anyway, so you have all of these songs that were commissioned for this this whole package, and it's all to celebrate or commemorate the Juno mission arriving at its orbital insertion point for Jupiter on July 4th. And so there's the cool little video they put together and then a bunch of songs. And it's just really cool.
Good 4th of July pick.
Visions of Harmony
is the name of the film. And I know you can get to the film and watch the film without an Apple Music subscription.
Yes.
Right. I don't know if you can listen to the tracks or not.
You can listen to some of the tracks, I believe.
Probably the Trent Reznor stuff.
Yeah, and you can also buy the tracks. They're all available. Some of them are 99 cents. Some of them are $1.29.
Yeah, it's really cool. And then in the video, it's just so much JPL footage in here. I'm gonna try to be there on Monday. But
awesome.
It seems like a very limited amount of people that they're planning to let in. But
we'll yeah, see. but don't they know who you are?
Yeah. Hey, I'm an intern. Let me in.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're also Michael Johnston from the Iowa show
that we checked out when I came to see you last year.
Yeah. Yeah, they've made it even more blue and cool looking. I think they've been refitting it because of the Jupiter thing. I think this is after MSL happened, I think this is the next big thing that they had in there, I'm guessing. So, but anyway, for people who don't know, Juno is a satellite that was launched in 2011, and it's been on a 5-6 year journey to Jupiter. 5 years. I can
math. 5 years.
Thank you. It's been that long because it's that far, and it will be entering its orbit around Jupiter Monday night. And so they've got these critical maneuvers that they have to perform correctly, or they will very likely just speed by Jupiter and you know, it will never be there. So, but it's going to be a very elliptical orbit so that they can, you know, jump in, check out some stuff at Jupiter, and then jump back out because there's a lot of radiation around Jupiter. And hopefully it'll tell us how the solar system was formed, because Jupiter's cool.
Yeah, and the fact that we can send a probe that far and collect all this data and learn so much, that's just pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well, it was funny. I was listening to the press conference, and someone was saying, oh, it's... Yeah, don't quote me on the number, but it was like 65 million miles. And I'm thinking they're going to say 65 million miles away from Earth. No, they're saying only 65 million miles away from Jupiter. So it'll be there in a couple days. And I'm like, whoa.
That's really fast.
It's ridiculous. It's crazy. Yeah. So good luck to them. Adam, what is your pick?
Funny, I was trying to find the link for my pick, and I just realized that somebody, Cult of Mac, took my Twitter image of this pick and is using it in their article.
Nice.
Yeah, they credited me, so they're great. I like those guys a lot. And of course, their store link is busted.
Whoops.
What's your pick? What's the thing called?
The pick is called, it's this really cool camera app called Prisma. It's from a Russian developer, Alexei, and I'm only bringing up the name because if I can get the link to work, you want to make sure you find the right one because there's a bunch of knockoff ones. Alexei Moisnikov.
Yep, I think I found
the guy's name. And it's the one with it's all white icon with a little blue triangle, no text in it. If you find one on the App Store that has Russian writing in the title, avoid it.
It's a virus.
Yeah, no, it's probably a virus. I don't know. Anyway, but what this does is it lets you take photos or anything in your camera roll and apply like very cool art style effects filters. So it makes it look like pieces of modern art.
That's really cool.
And they have a bunch of cool effects based on different artists. So you can get like pop art style filters. There's some like charcoal pencil style filters. I mean, it's really, really highly stylized stuff, but it looks amazing. I mean, like when you run this through, there's a comic book one. There's like a DC Comics filter. It makes your photos into basically these works of art. And it's really great. It's really kind of designed for Instagram. So it has like a post to Instagram button on it. And your photos are put into a square crop format. And you don't have the option to do anything else, you can also tap the share button and save them to your camera roll. The other only other complaint, and it doesn't bother me because I post mostly online, is some people I think have pointed out that you can't get like a full like high resolution image back out of it.
You can't print it, from it or whatever.
You can't what?
You can't print from it.
Well, I'm assuming you could print from it. I just don't know. I don't know. I haven't looked into the output, the file output, to see at what resolution it's at. I mean, it's designed, I think the developer designed it for posting to Instagram. As a matter of fact, in the 9to5 piece, they mentioned that the Russian prime minister is using it to post to his Instagram feed. So, but it's very cool. I mean, it's amazing. You will be amazed if you take a photo and you process it through here. You're like, it looks like something you'd see in a modern art gallery afterwards.
Yeah.
And it's free.
Yeah, this is cool. I like this.
And it's the one that has the blue triangle.
Yes. There is another one that looks the same, that has the blue triangle with some writing in it, though. So again, it's the most plain icon you've ever seen. It's white with a blue icon.
Yep. All right. Downloading now.
I love this.
Yeah. See? It's amazing.
Did you guys see the picture I sent?
The rover picture.
I'm looking at it right now. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's that's really fun. I like that. Awesome. And it's free.
Free.
Great.
That's really cool.
So my pick this week is, I'll give you the story of why. So I've been using Waze to get to and from JPL, and I'm a little bit further this year, so it's kind of a pain in the butt, and I definitely need Waze because it's just always traffic everywhere. So, I'm also getting up early, and I don't really have my phone plugged in at all during the day. So my battery's not doing so great, but I do have it plugged in when I'm in my car, and you would expect that, being that I'm plugged in over USB and it says that it's charging while I'm listening to music and navigating, most of the time the net result of navigating and playing music and having the screen on, my battery still drains as it's being charged.
Yep.
Yeah. And I'm guessing it's because the head unit in my car only conforms to the bare minimum standard of, I think it's 500 milliamps.
Right. Probably.
Yeah. So it's,
or even if it's doing one, you might still have that problem.
One amp.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So the, my thought was you can get hard drives, like portable hard drives with dual USB connections, one for data, one for power, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I thought, hey, why don't I just get a nice power outlet for my car and get a Y adapter, and so I can do my audio from my head unit and charge from a nice power adapter, so then I can, you know, quickly top off, get like a 12-watt adapter thing. Yep. So what I ended up getting, and it's really great, is the Skosh Revolt. It's the Skosh Revolt Dual. So it has two 12-watt USB ports on it. It's very low profile. It's lit in blue, which is nice. So you can find it easily in the dark. And it's only $12 on Amazon.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so you can get 12 watts out of each of those. So you can charge two iPads very quickly in your car with this thing.
Well,
that's really cool.
2.4 amp.
Yep. So my only issue, and it's not with the Revolt, it's with the Y connector, the Y adapter that I got. Only one side seems to work.
What's the Y adapter for? I don't understand that part of it.
So I need to charge, but I also want to get the audio and controls from my head unit. So I want to charge and have audio at the same time. So I need to have power from one thing and audio out from the other thing. So
how do you plug into your, oh, does the head unit plug in through a Lightning connector?
Yeah. So it's just got a USB on the back. I plug in my Lightning to that.
Right.
And then, so instead of plugging my phone directly into the head unit, now I plug into, I plug into the Y cable, which plugs into the head unit and
See, that's way complicated.
It's not complicated.
Well, you know what's going to be bad for me?
What?
So in my car, I have one of these little plug-in cigarette lighter things, and I have just my head unit that I plug in an aux cable.
Uh-huh. I'm more prepared than you are.
Guess what happens when the iPhone 7 comes out without a headphone jack?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a problem.
You get to buy a dongle.
Well, I don't even know how I'm going to do it, because I got to have two Lightning connectors, right? Power and one for audio out.
Yeah, your dongle is going to include a charging. It's going to be like...
If they even make such a thing, I don't even know.
Of course they'll make such a thing. Think about Monoprice. Why do they exist?
Hopefully. Hopefully it's technically feasible.
No, I mean, think about the iPad HDMI out.
Yeah, it's got to be like one of those. Hopefully Apple's one is like that. I mean, hopefully Apple is smart enough to know
they're going
to want to use headphones and charge at the same time.
No, they don't have a problem with battery life on the iPhone. It's totally fine. They don't need any way to plug it in while you're doing something else.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So, check it out. The Skosh Revolt.
Yeah, this thing's cool.
It's nice. Yeah. So with that, you can find all the picks in the show notes at theiosshow.com. Review the show on iTunes, and you can send your feedback to feedback@theiosshow.com. That's the email address. And advertising is handled by Backbeat Media. Backbeatmedia.com. Adam Christensen is at the MattCast, which is mattcast.com, and at MattCast on Twitter. Thanks for being here, Adam. Yeah.
Happy 4th of July to everyone.
Yeah, happy 4th of July. I'm going to go see Independence Day tonight. The second
one. Are you?
Oh, fun.
Yeah, I guess.
Did you ever see the original?
Are you kidding me? That's my jam, dude.
Okay. Movies you've seen.
That's one of my all-time favorite movies. That's one of my all-time favorite action
movies.
Jeff Goldblum, yeah.
We've been rewatching.
Brent Spiner.
We've been rewatching. We just watched, what's it called? Jurassic Park.
Yeah,
with the kids.
That movie,
the original.
That movie does not get
that's
bad.
That's a fun movie.
It's always good. I don't know how. It's a solid movie.
Yeah, well, we were worried because it was a little bit scary.
Did the kids like it?
Yeah, they did. I think so.
Of course they did. Jurassic Park.
But again, it's a little bit, they're at an age where it's still a little bit frightening.
Well, that's good. That's when I watched it as a child.
Too. That was kind of my point.
Yeah, you got to scare them a little. My grandmother did that. My mom didn't know. It's fun.
That's awesome.
So, what else? Jeff Gamet. He's at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, and the TMO Daily Observations podcast. Check that out. They do that every day of the weekday. Every weekday? Thank you.
Every day of the weekday? Yes. Yes, we do.
Every day of all the weekdays that there are.
For Monday, because it's 4th of July.
Yeah. Well, you got to take off holidays. Every business day.
There we go.
Jay Gamet on Twitter. Thanks for being here, Jeff.
It's always awesome.
And I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. And with that, we'll see you next time on The iOS Show. Ba-doop boop.
Ba-doop bum.
An iPod.
An iPod.
Internet.
How are we going to communicate this?
The stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus.